I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to come here to preach God's word. They talked about the Johnsons this morning, 70 years in ministry. And there's many, many people that start out strong and even do a good work for the Lord, but there's very few that end well. And my desire, and I need people praying, but my desire is that, Lord, that I would end well. There's a lot of people that start out strong, but very few end up well. You know what? That's my prayer for myself, but that's my prayer for each one of you. We talked about in Sunday school about reproduction in Titus chapter 2. That type of reproduction. The reproduction, I know I have 8 children, so sorry, I put foot in mouth. But the reproduction we talked about is God. Sorry. Boy. You know what? I'm really glad the littles are here. I feel very comfortable with the littles. So, you know what? When the Lord changed our lives, he gives us a burden for the lost. And that reproduction is not only the gospel going forth, but that's a lifestyle of holiness that God calls us unto. And that is in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your and might." And then it talks about when thou walkest in the way, when thou risest up, when thou liest down. It is something that's just not here at church. It is something that follows us everywhere we go. Our business, our first business is not construction or accounting or a secretary. Our business is honoring the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then along that lines, as our first business and priority, we are out working. There are some of you that are doing all sorts of different skilled work. And as I'm a pastor and as other pastors, people won't talk to us. But as you're working right next to them day in and day out, they're willing to hear. Because there's a light of a changed life that's working right next to them, and they're willing to hear the gospel from you. They may not ever hear it from a pastor. As soon as sometimes they find out I'm a pastor, and sometimes I don't want to tell people too quickly. Because once they find out as a pastor, sometimes it's like, woof, they take right off. I want to hear nothing from you. There's a difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know how this is organized here in the church, but I'm going to do something maybe a little different from what you're going to do, what you're used to doing. But if you would please turn the text of Scripture to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. We praise for the Johnsons who had 70 years in ministries, that we would, as people, have a love for the Lord. We don't retire from serving the Lord. If you would please stand with me as I read the sacred text of God's word. Please stand together at Matthew 28. Now, I'm only going to read 6 verses. Thank you. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." You may sit. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Lord, I need your strength. I am but frail flesh. And your word has all power and authority. Help people to realize it's nothing that I say or anything from my point of view, but it's your word that we will all be held accountable for. I ask that you do a mighty work in each of our lives and hearts today, that we'd be submissive to your will, that we'd be sensitive of your word, that it would change our lives. And if you're working in hearts, dear Lord, true salvation, please help people to realize they're in need of a great Savior, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to save sinners. Please open people's lives and hearts, open their eyes, work in their hearts. And if there's people here that name the name of Christ and they're not living according to your word, convict their hearts of their sin, and that they would repent and they would follow you with a fervency and a love as only you give. Thank you for this time to be able to worship together with God's people around your word. You are so great and you are holy. Great is your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled my text, Thankful for a New Day. And part of this has to do with Thanksgiving. But as I've been going through Matthew, I'm in Matthew chapter 28. At the church we're at, we've been on this text for 2.5 years, maybe a little bit more. And we're right here at the end of Scripture. And this has fallen, you know, in the Thanksgiving season. And we have much to be grateful and thankful for. I have entitled it, Thankful for a New Day. In verse 1, it says, Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Thankful for a new day. This was a new day at dawn. There is something that happened here that changed everything. Okay, there's a lot of things that change. If you go through the covenants, the covenant God made with Adam, and then some of the changes that happened when Noah came on the scene, and God made a covenant with Noah, and he displayed his mighty acts of power and strength through the flood and his destruction of sin in the world, and then he gave a promise. What was that promise, young men? That promise was a rainbow. And that covenant changed all of that life at that time. And he says, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. And they were saved and they were preserved from that death through their obedience by faith. They obeyed God and they built the boat, preached the gospel, the word of peace, of truth, for 100 years. And men from all over that area said, you know, I know people, there's people up here in New York that go down to Ohio, and what do they see? They want to go see that creation museum, and they want to see this massive boat. I believe that same thing happened way back then. And that from all over the gospel, and he was a preacher of righteousness, Noah was. For 100 years he proclaimed the gospel, and that they look for a redeemer, and that he was to come, and their obedience in God, that they would come and get on that ark. How many people went upon that ark? Devastating. And as you go through, there's a covenant of Abraham went on. And then we see a covenant of David and some things change. And even when they left Egypt, God gave them specific instructions through the covenant called the Mosaic Law, but it was a covenant God gave to Moses. Okay? And right when they left, he told them when they pulled out of Egypt, it's called the Passover that happened. And a lot changed in that Passover. He said in Exodus chapter 12, this month will be the month of months for you. That means he was changing their calendar year. He said, I want this to be the first month in the year. He says, on the 10th of the month, I want you to go select a lamb. And I'm telling you all this background information because it deals so much with this text. But on the 14th day of the month, you are to kill the lamb. And Jesus Christ was fulfillment of all those covenants. And that whole, their whole year changed. And then we get to Christ when he was born and something other changed. We see the appearance of the angels in the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And the whole calendar year, or the whole thing, changed again from BC to AD. And then we see this text, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. You know who showed up also there? An angel, didn't he? We're going to get to that text. But there was something that changed there from the old covenants to the new covenant. And this is called the new covenant. And he changed something else. He changed the weekdays. Was Saturday part of the Sabbath? It was. And Christians, the Puritans call this the Christian Sabbath. And we, in church history, meet on the Lord's Day. It's different than the Day of the Lord, but this is called the Lord's Day. And throughout the whole world, this day is special because we worship a risen Savior on the Lord's Day. And a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't hold that to be special. And they use different texts in Colossians and everything, called new moons, days, and months. And they don't even know the text of that. But this is a special day because Christ arose, and we are to celebrate this for all eternity, that Christ arose from the grave just as he promised he would say it, as he said. So we see this death to life. And that he said, I'm going to die. And in Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 20, all deals with it. And numerous times in Matthew chapter 20, he talks to the disciples like three times in that one chapter. But in each of those texts, you know, the religious Pharisees came to them and said, we want a sign. And he says, I'm not going to give you any sign. I'm the one in control here, not you. You don't demand to me a sign. I will tell you what the sign is. I will give you no sign. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be what? In the belly of the earth. And I will rise again the third day. You see that specified amount? He said, I'll give you a sign. And then in, not only in Matthew chapter 12 he does this, but in Matthew chapter 16, and then he reminds his disciples again and again and again and again, at least what's recorded in Scripture, it was over and over again that he must die. Even Peter said, oh, that, no, that cannot be. I will not let this happen. And what he said, he rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for this is not of God. I'm paraphrasing this. This was a new dawn. He completed everything of what God's word, what he told them. Even the Old Testament prophets had all prophesied to this point, and then he himself told them and gave them the only sign he was willing to give them. Now, let me help assure you, he gave them hundreds of signs. He had authority over what? The lame, right? He made the lame walk. They said, you can't forgive sins. He says, so that you may know that I have the power to forgive sins, rise up and walk. He had power over lameness. He had power over blindness. He had, in Matthew chapter 1, it goes on that he is in the heritage. He was a son of David. He had all authority. He was in that line. It goes through that line. Luke deals with this also. He not only had authority over healing, all kinds of infirmities, but he had authority to raise the dead, didn't he? Then he had authority over the demonic world. And then, remember, he had authority over the physical world. The disciples trembled and said, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? This was the completion of a new day, a new dawn. When he arose from the grave, it says in verse 1, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, I think it deals with a lot here. A lot, not only what happened, but theologically a lot here too. The way it words this. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Dead ceremonies were abolished. This was part of the new covenant. When, remember, he said, "It is finished." What ripped? The veil of the temple ripped. It was done with. The ceremonial law had been done away with. Not the moral law, not judicial law, but the ceremonial law of the killing of lambs and goats and of oxen and of this sacrifice. Now, all that was to point to Christ alone. It was just a picture. They were never saved by those things. They were only saved by faith. By faith. Read Hebrews 12. It was always by faith. And it was a putting away that to show the brightest light that Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of all the covenants to the Jewish people. And we serve a great and glorious Savior. And He is God. And He, everything He said, He completed and fulfilled. Does that encourage us to trust in His Word? What's being attacked today is the authority of Scripture. That's the authority of God. And you need to be plenty aware of when it says, when Jesus says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, I don't know how many people, Christians, who says, we don't believe in Jonah and the whale. Jesus himself backed up the authority of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, of the prophets and the writings. Writings are Psalms and Proverbs. Okay, the Psalms. Okay. He backed up everything by his words. And yet, quote, Christians don't believe the Old and the New Testament. What are you attacking? His authority and his power and the verbal inspiration of his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is God's word important? Did he fulfill everything he said? Yes. And then Paul and Peter, they spoke of a risen Savior. That was their whole message, that Christ arose from the grave. And are you thankful for a new day? Are you thankful that you've been chosen and you're part of this new covenant? Now, there's some maybe here that have never given their hearts to Jesus. They said a prayer, yes. And they've been dutiful to be religious. But they have never submitted to him as Lord and Master of their lives. I encourage you to make sure of your salvation today. I don't care how long you've been here at this church. I tell you what, I love this church. Why? Because there's a lot of people in this church that have a love for the Savior. And I see it because of their obedience and their faithfulness to him. But there may be some here today that have never given their heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, saying, I submit everything. I love you with my heart, soul, might, strength. We see this as a deliverance from worldly powers. The Roman government was trying to rule him, and they had all authority, and they crowned him and beat him and put the crown of thorns upon him and destroyed his body like none other human had ever bore. And then the Jewish people, they destroy. He says, we don't kill you for your work's sake. We kill you because you claim to be God. He had challenged their authority, right? Do you think the religious realm wanted to destroy him? We'll get to this text over and over about how much the religious realm wanted to destroy him. He had defeated all the powers that be and even the power of death. And also, these ladies here who came here, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, in John, it has a little bit different way, and I can't tell you exactly how everything purposely happened, but in this text, it gives just a picture here, some of the points here. It says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and there was a dedicated doing of their lives and hearts. Everybody else fled, didn't they? Except for what? The ladies. Remember when he was crucified, they stood afar off? Men, we need some godly leaders. I just thought I'd park on that just a little bit. We need men who lead. Women want men who lead. Now, sometimes women don't want to follow these guys, but there's a commandment to lead. Men, but we praise the Lord for these women who are faithful. And then when they went and buried him, just a text before, Who were there watching? What was it? It was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. They were there when he was buried. And guess who was there? These ladies. And then when he, after 3 days, after the Sabbath, they came in and they brought spices to anoint our Savior. These two ladies. Praise the Lord for the faithful, the dedicated, and their doing. And in verse 2, look at this. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. This angel was an angel to deliver a message, wasn't he? And this is amazing. This descended angel, what were some attributes to him? There was a great earthquake. That wasn't his attribute, but I'm going to tell you. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Sorry, in verse 3 is the attributes. I got a little ahead of myself. But we see this descended angel. He came for a specific purpose. And as you know, hey, was Jesus there in that grave? No. And I've heard it said, and I think this is a good explanation. That angel came down to let people look in. Because remember the religious leaders? They were determined. They went to Pilate. It was on the Sabbath they went to him. And they said, Pilate, and this is a Sabbath. They weren't supposed to be down at the Praetorium asking Pilate for guards and for men to seal this thing up so he wouldn't arise. Did they believe that he was going to rise again on the third day? Remember the Roman guard? After all the earthquakes and everything that happened, the Roman guard says, he gave a witness that this indeed was the Son of God. I believe they were shaking their boots with fear. And so on the Sabbath, when they were not supposed to be running around, they took off and they went to Pilate and they said, make sure. And Pilate said, have whatever you want. And they took the guards and all the centurion and a group of men. It was a lot more than two and three. It was a group down there. And they took and they sealed that thing up with concrete. And they said, if this guy ever comes back to life, we're going to make sure there's no air in there. It doesn't say that in the text. But they're going to make sure he stood in there. They sealed that thing up. No one was going to move that stone. And yet the angel came. And he came as God's messenger. And Jesus, he arose. He didn't need that door. But that angel came down to open that door to say, nothing's here. He did what he said he was going to do. Do you believe? Can we trust his word? The descended angel, he opened the door, and it was a done deed. He sat on it. It was a kind of a rest that day, wasn't there? It was a new rest. It was the first day of the week. He rolled that stone away while it was yet dark, and he sat on it. That's amazing, isn't that? The Lord is good to us, isn't he? He gives us a rest from our labors. Description of the messenger in verse 3. And his countenance was lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Now I want to tell you, there's a few other things that I like about this church. It's good to see you. There's some people here who've been faithful. There are people who are older, even in this church, and I've met other people out and about, part of the body of Christ, and they're older, and their skin is all wrinkled up, but these people walk with God, and there is a glow and a beauty to them because they love the Lord and because they live for the Lord, and the Lord gives them a radiance. Now, I want to tell you, this messenger, there was some reflective glory upon this messenger. Now, it wasn't about this angel and all the glories from him, but you remember Moses when he was standing in the presence of God? And even in the transfiguration, what shone? The glory of God upon this. And this man was a messenger. He had stood in the presence of the Lord, and he came down, and he says that his features, in verse 3, his countenance was like lightning. Man, That lightning lasts a split second, but I tell you what, in the middle of the night, and it is dark, and the clouds are over, and that lightning strikes, it will light up everything. It's better than night vision. And I had the opportunity to wear a nice pair of those things, and those are amazing. It says it was like lightning. And his robe was what? It was going right through that. I don't care what you're wearing. If your presence, your physical body is like lightning, it's shining right through and it's going to look white as snow. We see this was a reflective glory of God that was upon this messenger. And we'll look at the response here, the description of the messengers in verse 3, but also in verse 4. And the guard shook for fear of him. We see the reflective, but also this responsive. And this dealt with a destruction of powers. And I put on this, I see these kids watching, you know, got signs in their trucks and fear this and fear that. And I'm thinking, you jokers. You know, we have something to fear. And these men, the Bible says, and I want to pull this over, and I want to take this out of text, but it says, if ye would judge yourselves, ye would not be judged. When we come before God's presence, and we stand by his glory and honor, it says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says, if ye would not judge yourselves, ye shall be judged. And that's dealing with salvation. When we come and we realize that we're sinners before an almighty God, that we can do nothing. Look how these guys responded. The guards shook for fear of him and became like... Did they have right to fear? Were these men Bible-believing? I don't think they were. Remember all the mockings and the beatings and the scoffings, and they crowned Jesus king and they laughed at him and scoffed at him and took a rod and beat him upon the head. And beat his body unmercifully. And yet, the Roman power of that whole world bowed to the Roman government. And yet, these men sent by the Roman government, they shook for fear, not only because of the earthquake, but because of their great fear of the presence of the messenger of God. And one day, Christ returns in all his glory, this whole world will shake in fear. And people who will not repent in their life will repent before the judgment. And they will say, holy, holy, and it is too late. If ye would judge yourselves, ye would not be judged. Because, and the reason I bring this point here is because look down with me. It says in verse 4, and they became as dead men. But in verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women... Look at the different response here. We see these mighty men of valor, these swordsmen, the power of Rome. It was nothing. They just fell to the ground. And we see these women here. And look at the response of these women. The angel in verse 5 said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." You see the different response between these mighty men, these guards, and the ones who seek. Those who seek the Lord, God gives what? Grace and mercy and peace and strength. I tell you what, it would be an awful fight. I mean, an awful situation. And I'm using awful as in just overwhelming power and glory there. And he says, hey, I know you who seek the Savior. Don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear. And that gives peace, doesn't it? It does. And so we see the fear of the Lord coming upon these men because of the brightness of his glory in verse 5. Do not be afraid. Fear not. You are a friend and you are a freed one. You're not under bondage. He is risen. Just as he said. Let's look down here in verse 6. And he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's gone. But come see the place where he lay. He's gone. He's just did as he said. Do you think these ladies who saw all the gruesomeness of that body and saw him died and buried, and even those two men, Joseph of Arimathea, taking the skeleton of his body and the flesh that was there, and they put the swaddling clothes around him, and they came back to put some more anointing oils. There was a lot of background in this. Some people say the soul didn't leave the Jewish tradition till 4 days after, and they were coming to anoint it and try to take. That was all hearsay. That was bad tradition that they had. But they come, and he says, "Hey, he's not here. You want to see the grave? It's not. You want to see the body? No. It's you want to see the grave where he used to lay? He's a freed one. Work. He was risen." He says, "It is finished." There was a new covenant. There was a new work that was going to be done. He is risen. Are you thankful for a new day? There was a word. It was a work that he completed. The word, as he said, and the witness, come and see. Now this strikes upon my heart something very dear. I've talked to a lot of people. And I'm in the schools. I'm up in Camden. I get to have the opportunity to give the gospel in the school system up there in the public school. And I have person after person, even proclaimers, would even say, I've tried to describe what faith was. And a lot of times, you just have to have faith. Well, faith in what? Well, you just have to believe. You just have to have faith. Our faith has an object, and our object is Jesus Christ and his word, and he has done what he has said he is. We have an object. We can believe it. We can trust it. There are proofs. And today, are you willing to proof the word of God? I enjoyed math in college. I did not like geometry, but they made us do axioms and theorems. And there are proofs of what was fact. And this is a proof. He says, come and see. And the same thing as today is prove what my word says is true. And you will be experiential faith. And the more we obey and experience his blessings and his answers to prayer, it tests our faith, it proves our faith, and it builds our faith. Are you willing to take God's word at what he says? Can you prove his word? Can you trust it? There are people, older people, that have proven his word, and they can say, he does what he says. He is our provider, our sustainer, our strength, and our hope and song. And I know when I die, I will be in, according to his word, I will have my home in heaven. Are you proving these things in your lives that his word is true? Just like the angel said, come and see, experience. Our Christian walk is not an empty faith. You can believe as much as you want, and you get on this roof and you jump off the end of the building, you are going to hit hard and you will bounce and it won't be nice. Because faith has no object. It's just in faith itself. It will not hold anything. But if your faith is in Christ alone, it will hold for all eternity. Because God is great and God is good. Are you thankful for a new day? Look at this. He done as he said. He did what he said. The delivering of the message. Verse 7. And go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Behold, I have told you. This delivery of the message was to a people. Go quickly and tell his disciples. Were those his chosen ones in the garden? Remember, he prayed for his people. Who did he pray for? He prayed for his disciples, those who gave him. He prayed for the disciples. He also prayed for a bigger circle, right? He prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And then he prayed for all Christians of all time. Tonight we're going to be in Ephesians. I'm going to share more of my ministry with you because of time. But in that Ephesians, The Lord reveals His great power and His elective purposes in Ephesians 1. And you know what? He prayed for those who would believe because they were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. If you believe you're chosen, then He'll hold you and He will keep His word. And it is a great doctrine and it's one that brings great security. If you don't understand that, it's important that you do. So there was a power, a place, the person. He delivered the message and He says, pass it on. Now I'm skipping down through a lot of points here because of time. But this pass it on is, He is going before you in the Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. And then at the end it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of... On and on and on. Pass it on. Is that God's call upon each one of our lives? We see that natural reproduction, don't we? Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love Him with all your heart, your soul, your might, your strength. And because of that, you're going to love your neighbors yourself. He says, pass it on. What I have given you because of my great love for you, you need to go out and do likewise. The duty of thankfulness is verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. He is risen, just as He said. He is risen again. You know what? When you die, do you ever rise? When you get up in the morning, I say, good morning. I'm glad you arose. But when they killed Christ, those people didn't think He'd ever arise again. And He says, I will arise again. I'm going to be dead, 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 dead. I said that four times. I'm just hopefully you get it. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was dead. And then He rose again. He rose up in glory. You know what? Your physical bodies will die. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this is judgment. But if you've asked Christ to come in your heart, you will live again. Communion is a beautiful picture of this. Raised to newness of life in baptism and communion. Those are the two commands of Scripture's ordinances. You need to understand these. It'll change your life. We have a duty of thankfulness of praise. When the Lord saved you, He changes you. He makes you a new creation. And He gives you joy. Are you being thankful today? And you're being thankful every day. I know some of you come to church and you fight all the way here. And when you get in the church, you just put on a smiley face. Everything's good. Praise God. And you go out the door and you get back in your car. And, man, we're going to finish this conversation. I've experienced that growing up in a Christian home, even under a pastor. I've seen that going on. Parents are fighting. I was like, I don't like going to church. But when the Lord saves a person, they have a joy to being with God's people and a true love, and they live every day. Do we have problems? Yes, we do. But we know that we are more than conquerors through Him, and we can trust Him in all things, and we can rejoice. Are you thankful today? Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, I thank You for Your dear people. I ask that You'd work in hearts. If there's some people here that need to deal with sin, dear Lord, I ask You convict them of their need. Your word says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. Your word says, Lord, Lord, these people professing Christ said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied and in Thy name done many wonderful works? He says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I ask that You convict as only You can. If there's people that are proud in heart and spirit, You deal with them because of their pride. Your word says it's an abomination to You, that they would humble themselves before You and know that You are the only way, the truth, and the life, that souls would be saved, that they would come in repentance, and they'd say, oh, Lord, I need You. I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of Your word and Your changing and Your the power that you give through the blood. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Oh, Lord, please that people would accept your perfect gift of Christ as a substitute for their sins. Great is your faithfulness. I pray that people would make a decision today in their hearts right now. Please do your mighty work of power, that people would confess to you as Lord and Master of their lives. And for those who claim to know the Lord, that they would not live as Corinthians in their flesh, but they would submit to your word and walk in the Spirit. Dear Lord, help us to live for you and love you. We're but frail flesh, but we need you, and our dependency is upon you for your honor and glory, that we would be reflective, like that angel is, of your grace that has changed our lives. Help us to go with joy and thankfulness in the glory of your help and your presence. Great is your faithfulness. Please bless your people today. Work there in Camden. Please be with Pastor D. Leon, that souls would be saved, that people would come to know you and love you, as your word says. In Jesus' name, amen.